Welcome to Stronger Than Failure, where we provide you with in-depth interviews with entrepreneurs on their struggles, victories, goals, and how they got started. We also give you the best tips, hacks, and information on sales, network marketing, credit, and mindset mastery. Now, here's your host, entrepreneur and author, Danny Cole.
This show or any show that we've done, please make sure you tell everybody about it, because everyone's got a story and everyone deserves to be part of the family here at Stronger Than Failure. And if you like a show that we've done in the past or you missed a show, want to replay it, go to StrongerThanFailure.com, click on podcast, and you've got all the shows and all the archives right at your fingertips. All right, guys, as always, I'm going to bring you great content, great information, great stories every single show. And that's exactly what we got here for you today. Today is part two with Ken Bearden. So a quick recap so you know what's going on. Then I'm going to have him touch base with you. Some of the listeners, if you didn't hear the past show, because it is amazing. So we'll jump right into it. Ken Bearden, he spent 15 years as a professional bull rider, traveling the country, competing in bull riding events, rodeos, winning tournaments, doing extremely well. But as Ken said on the last show, you can only do that for so long. I mean, imagine, it takes a toll on your body. So after retiring, he still had that need for competition, which he met that need through bass fishing. So after 10 years as an amateur, he turned pro and again, traveled the country, winning tournaments all over, breaking records, winning titles. And then in 2001, he met Joe, a Vietnam veteran who loved to fish just as much as Ken did. But after Joe's death from Agent Orange, Ken and Joe's wife started the nonprofit Veteran Fishing Organization in memory of Joe. So guys, you already know it's going to be a great show. This man here has, done it all, traveled all over the country, seen everything, did competitions everywhere, broke records, been on TV, he's been in magazines, he's done numerous interviews, and we are lucky to have him here on the show. And then we're going to have him talk about that. And also his nonprofit, because it is something that, guys, it's close to my heart, because a lot of veterans need help. They need an outlet. And Joe's nonprofit, he did in Joe's name, Ken, it's amazing. So I want y'all to be a part of it. So without further ado, Ken, man, welcome back to the show. And touch base on a couple of things for everybody so they get the ones that didn't hear you last episode, get to hear a little bit about you. And then let's go back to the nonprofit, man.
Oh, yeah. Thanks, guys, so much for having me on. So, yeah, we, I grew up in a military town, and where Fort McClellan was based at in Anniston, Alabama. And, as a young kid, we would see the caravans of the soldiers going out for training. And it never really crossed my mind what they were going to train for. We actually would be going out to horse shows when I was young, they would just be, probably 30, 40, 50 trucks. And in the back were just piles and piles of soldiers, they were going out to learn to shoot the guns and drive the tanks and throw grenades and all that kind of stuff. And like I said, I lived the American dream, traveling, bull riding, fishing, not ever knowing what those guys were actually training for and what they had, went through during their time that they served. And once I met my friend Joe, he talked a little bit about Vietnam, but not a lot. It was probably 4 or 5 years after I knew him before he really started talking a little bit about it. And he drove a tank in Vietnam, and he was also one of the one that went in the hole, the big holes with the flashlight and the gun to clear the hole when they came across him. Yeah. And so he really changed my life. And so after he died, me and Miss Gillum, I wanted to do something in memory of Joe. And she, she had the idea that, well, she told me one day, she said, I'm not, you know, she was thanking me for taking the time to take him fishing so much. And because I took him as much as I could. And anytime, especially when he was going through the chemo and radiation, all that stuff. And, you know, he just had bad depression, you know, and except for when I would call and to see if he felt like going fishing. And then he would pep up, you know, he would get his stuff and ready and anticipate the day and then come home talking about the day and everything. And that's how me and her came up with the idea, you know, of starting a nonprofit, because she mentioned when she would thank me after I'd go by and check on her, you know, after he passed. And she said, I'm sure there's thousands of other veterans that are in the same shape that need to get out and want to get out, but they're not physically able, or some of them not mentally able, or just can't afford, you know, the right equipment. And yeah, I thought, well, you may be on something there, Miss Gillum, you know, why don't we look into that, you know, because I wanted to do something in memory of Joe anyway. So we got the ball rolling. We got to doing research and stuff like that. And turns out Alabama, Georgia, South Carolina are three and the highest in the nation in veterans, because there's 11 bases in the Southeast. So a lot of them move here and a lot of them end up retiring here. So we saw we had a lot of veterans. So we started researching freshwater fishing trips, and we could only find one organization. And they also done cancer patients and all kinds of things. And they were doing fly fishing in North Georgia. And there was some ice fishing up north, and there was a lot of saltwater fishing down in the south, but in Florida, but nothing like we do here on these freshwater man-made lakes. And so we saw there was plenty of veterans, and we saw no one was doing it. So we kind of got the ball rolling and got our incorporated and got our 501c3. And we got that in March of 17, and by November, I had so many veterans signed up, you know, it just turned into a full-time thing, you know. And I was doing a little bit of landscaping, you know, kind of specialty stuff on the side when I wasn't guiding. And so I've been a guide here on West Point Lake, a fishing guide for 20 years. And then you have periods, you know, where it's too hot or it's too cold. So I would do these little rock gardens and streams, waterfalls, you know, kind of specialty stuff, you know. And so I thought, I had so many veterans signed up, I'm like, you know, well, you know, I think I'll give this a shot, you know, see if we can make it work. And I actually thought, well, you know, if we end up helping just one veteran, we'll be successful in my mind, you know, just helping one, you know. And so I started taking these guys out, and I actually start feeling bad, you know, that because I'm having to take some of them's arm and put it across my shoulder and grab them by the belt and just slowly walk them down there in the boat and help them in and help them up and down all day long, you know. And, you know, they're suffering from Parkinson's and some neuropathy and you know, had cancers and been blown up and been shot and thrown out of Humvees, all these things. And, you know, it really made me feel bad, you know, that I didn't serve, you know. And but I lived this life of going all over the place doing what I wanted whenever I wanted. And here I didn't realize that it was because of what these guys did, you know. And so in 2018, I started having events where we bring in volunteers out and we bring in veterans. And so the volunteers take people out, take a veteran out. And when they come back in, I have food prepared, drinks, prizes, trophies. And so they all get to, you know, kind of sit and eat and everything and laugh and joke and, you know, weigh their fish in. And I kind of learned after a while, there's two different kind of veterans. There's some that you know, have been through a lot of trauma and stuff, and they don't like to be around crowds, especially PTSD guys and stuff like that. They do not like to be around crowds, but they'll go out with me, you know, one-on-one. And then you have other veterans who's kind of gotten over what they went through, and they love to get together with other veterans because they connect real quick between each other because they've been through the same stuff, you know, kind of like a brotherhood thing, you know, and being in. So I have the events for the ones that like to get together, and then the other ones we do the one-on-one trips. And, you know, we had so many already signed up, you know, by that November of 17, we just started, you know, going full blast, taking veterans. And, you know, it really changed my life seeing how the shape that some of these guys are in physically and mentally. You know, I had a VFW up in Buchanan, Georgia call me, and you know, we started putting stuff out on Facebook, you know, we created our own page and our website and everything. And so people were starting, you know, find that stuff. And so the VFW in Buchanan, Georgia, they contacted me and said, "Hey, you know, we saw your stuff on Facebook. We'd love for you to come and speak at a, you know, at a meeting." So I said, "Sure." So I go up there, and there's, you know, probably 75 people there. Everybody eats and everybody's, you know, talking and stuff. And so it's a few minutes before the meeting starts, and me and the commander and the second command were standing over talking. He was kind of telling me, you know, "We're going to give you this amount of time, and then we'll go into our meeting, you know, and all that stuff." And, you know, and I'm talking to him, and I said, "You know, I've never really realized how much, you know, these guys go through, you know, the Vietnam veterans and the Gulf War veterans." I mean, he said, "Yeah, you know," and he said, "you know, that we really like supporting our veterans of foreign wars." And, man, for some reason in my head, like, that just stuck, you know, veterans of foreign wars. So, but I didn't understand it at the time. So then I give my speech and everything, and then I'm driving home, you know, and I'm like, and that's still on my mind, veterans of foreign wars. I'm like, veterans, why is that still, why am I still thinking veterans of foreign? And then I realized that it's like VFW. You know, everywhere you go in the United States, there's a building with a VFW sign out there. And I have drove past the VFW in my hometown hundreds of thousands of times and never knew what VFW stood for before that night. Man, you talking about being humbled, you know, that really humbled me, you know,
Yeah, Ken, this is Durr. I never knew what VFW stood for, too. That's a new one on me. Please enlighten us. Veterans of Foreign Wars. And that, I guess the definition is they always fighting on foreign lands. Is that what it is, or what is it?
I would assume that is it, you know. And so, you know, we had my first big event. We had like 35 veterans come, and we rented the house that slept 21. Everybody pitched in. Because, you know, the organization didn't have the money to pay for everything. So everybody pitched in. We rented this house that slept 21. And then there's a little motel right down the road. And so a few of them stayed down there. And so we had it from Friday afternoon through Monday morning. So everybody's getting there, you know, Friday afternoon. Everybody's getting there. And then Friday night, everybody's there. And they go to playing games and laughing and talking. And Saturday morning, we get up and we have our event and we have the weigh-in, food, drinks, everything. And then everybody goes back to the house and they have a big cookout at the house. And so everybody's sitting around, you know, talking. And one of them says, "Ken, where'd you serve at?" You know, and I'm like right in front of everybody, you know. And I'm like, well, I didn't serve, you know. And I feel bad, you know, that I didn't serve. And they're like, No, don't feel bad, Ken. You're serving now. You know, it's even better that you didn't serve and you're giving back. That means more to us than if you had served." So, you know, that kind of made me feel a little bit better, you know.
Right, but, that's like, you know, serious awareness, Ken. It's like,
there's so many guys out there. Just like when I went to that VFW in Buchanan, a few days later, this gentleman calls me and said, "Hey, Ken, you know, I met you there at the VFW, you know, and we shook hands and everything." I said, he said, "I know you don't remember because there's so many people there and everything." And he said, he told me his name and where he was from. And he said, you know, he said, I had prostate cancer from the Agent Orange and they had to take it out. And he said, my cancer's come back. And, you know, it's gotten in my spine and there's nothing they can do for it. And he said, you know, I would really love to go out on the lake like you were talking about, you know, and go fishing. I've got to fish little farm ponds and streams and stuff like that, but I've always wanted to go out on a boat and fish in a big reservoir like that. And he's like, is that, you think you could take me? I said, sure, man, you just give me a date, you know? So I got to take him out, you know, and then, you know, so I call him a few days later, just say hello and thanks for coming. Hope you enjoyed yourself, you know, and I do that with a lot of guys, especially the ones that are in, you know, bad shape and stuff. And so then he gets to calling me, you know, he calls me, you know, to tell me what his doctor said, how his cancer is progressing and stuff like that, you know, and then eventually, you know, I call him one day and the wife answers and it just goes silent. She hands the phone to somebody else and they're like, he passed away, you know, and this is not an easy thing, you know, when you get close to somebody like that and then they're gone. And I've had several like that. And I've actually, to be honest with you, I've had a couple get saved with me out there in a boat.
Oh, wow. That's, you know, amazing right there.
I'm not trained in that field in by any means, but, you know, if somebody, you know, is breaking down and, you know, and asking you for advice and stuff like, you know, I know how to share my faith, you know, and everything. And it's a lot of things beyond fishing, you know. It's just the camaraderie. It's sometimes it's just pulling over in the shade and putting the anchor down and just letting them talk, you know.
Mm-hmm. And Ken, you're an angel, man. You're helping a lot of people out and changing their mindsets, their perception of life, giving them hope. That's amazing what you're doing. And like, so I got a question. Like, how many guys do you take out a year? Do you take them out one at a time, or is it groups? Like, how does that work?
Well, yeah. I try to do somewhere between 80 and 100 trips a year.
Oh, wow.
That doesn't include the events. When we have the events, they're anywhere from 18 to 25 to 30. So when you do the one-on-one events, one-on-one trips, you never know what to expect. I had a veteran call me the other day wanting to go, and so I took him out, and I stayed in contact with him because he's got Parkinson's and stuff, and I knew his wife had passed away, and he had been through, you know, had some hard times there, because I saw it on Facebook, and I, you know, drove over his house, talked to him, we sat there and talked for a while, and then we went out fishing a few days later, and I asked him, you know, how he been doing. He's like, it's been the worst time of my life, you know. Mm-hmm. He said, my life has never been as bad as it is right now. And I'm like, and he had told me when I was at his house, you know, that he was relieved that his wife passed away because she'd been in so much pain. You know, she had brain cancer, and she... Wow. Just been through so much. He was really relieved that she was able to, you know, to go on. So it kind of confused me. I'm like, so this is because your wife passed away? He said, no. He said, you know, she was, you know, seeing another man, and I knew nothing about it until she passed away, you know. And he said, I feel used. I feel stupid, you know, I'm mad, I'm angry, and all these things. And I'm like, you know, and I always pray for God to give me the wisdom to say whatever needs to be said that day, if it needs to be said. It may not be, you know, it may not. It may just need to be out on, you know, get out. But sometimes they need to hear something. And so we went on back and we fished for a while, and then we was idling back out to the big lake, big part of the lake. And I guess the Lord gave me, tell me what to tell him. You know, I was like, I just turned to him. I put my hand on his shoulder. I said, look, man, you're going to be okay. I said, look, listen to me. You done the right thing. You provided for her. You took care of her. You stood beside her when she was sick. I said, you never cheated on her. You was never mean to her. I said, when you stand before God, he's not going to ask you what somebody done to you. He's going to ask you what you done for others. I said, and you done the right thing. I said, so it turned him from being a victim and to being a victor. You know, it just totally changed his outlook on, you know, he doesn't feel used no more because he knows he done the right thing, you know. And, you know, I mean, I learned in 2017, I was trying to do my guiding and trying to still do the hardscapes with the rocks and stuff and take veterans fishing and go out and speak at all these events and network with other organizations and volunteer when they have something going on. And I learned right quick, I couldn't do this. And so I had to just turn it over to God. You know, I'm like, you know, if you want this to succeed, you know, you're going to have to lead me. You're going to have to tell me, you know, what to say and when to say it and all this stuff. And, you know, we're in 2021 and we're still making it. You know, we don't have any big donors. I mean, we run off of, you know, little small $2,500 grants here and there. Have little raffles, raise money, you know, and, you know, we got a $64,000 bass boat out there. You know, it's almost 9 feet wide, which is what I wanted because it's real stable and it's 21 feet long. So that makes it stable too. And you can put, you know, those guys in there with bad knees and stuff and moving around and stuff, the boat doesn't wobble around and, you know, and,
that's perfect for those guys getting out there. And hold that thought, because that kind of brings me to this next thing here. I mean, that's a blessing you got a boat like that so you can bring the guys out, because don't you have an event coming up, Ken?
Yeah, on April the 24th, I've got right now, I've got, I think, 19 veterans and 15 volunteers coming with their boats. And one of the boats will... you can put like three in there and he's going to be crappie fishing. So,
no. So do you still need some volunteers for that there or no?
This is about with the coronavirus going on and everything. I really don't want to get over 20.
Gotcha.
Cause you get too big of a crowd. And, once this is all hopefully passed, you know, we can go back to the, you know, 25 and 30, veterans, but keeping it, you know, around 18 or so. When you put the boaters and the veterans and everybody eating, you know, we're outside, but still it turns into a big crowd, you know, because I have the volunteers come, stuff like that, you know. So, yeah, so I've got the food lined up and working on the prizes, and I'm trying to get businesses to sponsor a veteran for $250, you know. So, you know, you got 15, 18 veterans, and if a business can put up $250 to sponsor a veteran, you know, if you get them all sponsored, then we've made enough to last for a month or two, you know, because, you know, it takes money to do anything, you know.
Oh, absolutely. And what you do right now as far as doing that, I think on the last episode we talked about it, it's not cheap. Like, it's kind of expensive to bring everybody out there and put on these events, isn't it?
Yeah, it's not cheap, and it's extremely time consuming, you know, because I'll sign a boater up and 3 days later, oh, I'm sorry, man, I forgot we got a wedding, you know, And so then you got to go find them. And then you got another one called, my wife told me we're supposed to go to Florida that week. So then you got to find them. And then you got the same thing with the bear. So, you know, I hopefully by now I've gotten down to the, you know, the ones on the list that are going to show up. So, you know, I've had a couple businesses put up a little bit of money, but nowhere where I want to be at. We need some like corporate sponsorship, you know.
Now, real quick, we only got 3 minutes left. So for your listeners, guys, who's listening, if you want to donate, can tell them how they donate. And by, like, if they donate, do they get their name put anywhere? How does that work? Or is it just now them donating and that's it? Because that is a great thing. Even if they just donate and that's it, that's still amazing. But I didn't know if there is something else, you know, their name goes anywhere or anything like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if they sponsor a veteran on an event, we'll put that on West Point Lake Life, which there's about 5,000 members on there. So their business will get a little bit of advertising there. If they want to do like a whole year, it's like $3,500, and then we put their logo on our truck and our boat, and so you know that truck it gets almost 1 million views a month if you go on truckads.com and put the mileage in. A lot of exposure with it. We're going to be at the Talladega racetrack in October. We're going to be holding the American flag. My truck and boat's going to be out front. So, I mean, you're looking, a couple hundred thousand people is going to see the truck and boat at that, just at that one event. We go to Delta Airlines on Veterans Day. There's about 5,000 people come through that event. You know, there's a lot. We go to the Vietnam wall. Whenever they move it around, we go there. We do a lot of, and if you just look, when I drive through and I get back home, my Facebook page is lit up, you know, from people.
That's awesome.
Seeing it. Yeah. They, you know, my truck is wrapped like a NASCAR kind of wrap, and it's the Veterans Fishing Organization on the side of it, and the Facebook and our website and everything. So, and people in traffic will see that. Now just start pulling it up. Somebody in the car start pulling it up, you know.
That is cool. Now, real quick, Ken, we got 1 minute, man. I hate to rush you, but let everybody know how they can get contact with you, how they can look at everything, and how they can donate to help out this cause, especially when it's coming up in 4 days. Or not, is it 4 days, but on the 24th.
Yeah. So you can go on. You can go on our Facebook page, Veterans Fishing Organization, and you can messenger me there. Or you can click from there. There's a link that goes straight to our website, vfohome.org, and you can donate on there. And then we have the Venmo app, too, that they can donate on there. I would suggest if you wanted to be on the truck and all of our advertising website and all that stuff, probably contact me through Messenger, and we'll work out that detail there. If you're want to sponsor a veteran, we'll just messenger me your company's name and everything and get with me that way.
Perfect. All right, folks, we are wrapping up. So right there, you heard it. It is a great cause, the Veterans Fishing Organization with Ken Bearden. This man helps out so many people, so many guys, getting them out on the water, getting them out of the house, helping them with depression, and just helping them feel, you know, like they've got purpose again. Ken's been doing this for a while. So if you could donate, he gave you the information. So we love you. We appreciate you. And remember, you are stronger than failure.
Stronger Than Failure, where we provide you with in-depth interviews with entrepreneurs.
All right, hey, good job, Ken. And as always, man, you are.
And how they got started. We also give you the best tips, hacks, and information on sales, network marketing, credit, and mindset mastery. Entrepreneur and author, Danny Cole. Stronger Than Failure.